pay rent on it. The landlady can say nothing so long as no selling is done there. Called Miss Gu Enfelman, Siamese kitten she has is Chu Lai, not Mr. Der. Stairs at the front, and we all said hello, and then we all went down the back stairs to see the lower apartment on his shoulder, because he thought there would be too many feet for me to avoid, as I could not see them. "Well, there you are, Mrs. Der," said the Gov. "You can store your things here and work here all day if you like. Cannot pay us any rent. We are powerless to object. There are no shops here, as you know." Mrs. Der seemed to be very pleased. She played with me, and I gave my second best purr. We always keep our very best purrs for the family. Aim that to her when he became older. Was a small kitten indeed, with his face and tail still white. Now, at this time of writing, I understand that he is indeed a most magnificent specimen of Tomhood. Recently received a photograph from him, and she described him gustily and in some detail. This morning loads and loads of books were carried into the downstairs apartment with great boxes, and grunting mightily as they struggled to manhandle those cases in through the doors. "Come, telephone men," said Miss Gu, "a dope would know that," hammering, and shortly after, the telephone bell rang as it was tested. "Men finish and then we will all go down to see Mrs. Der. The best thing for me to do would be to have some food, as I did not know how long we should be." Fortunate enough to discover Ma just putting down a fresh supply, I gave her a push with my head and rubbed against her legs by way of thanks, like the Gov does. Long down, I could easily manage the stairs now, knowing each one and being well aware that there would be no obstacles. He was fanatically particular to see that all my routes were kept clear and that the furniture was always in the same place. But as the Gov had once been blind for just over a year, he knew of my problems better than anyone else. Or for the Gov, as I did not know of the obstacles, so that I could sniff all the news. Damp ground. On one book I read a message from Mr. B. Der. "Please at having Master Chu Lai Der to look after." Miss Gu sighed a sigh of happy memories. "Old Stubby, a very pleasant fellow or fellow-s," she remarked, sad to say, "something got mixed when the sexes were handed out. Poor old Stubby had both." "Barrassing. The Der house one evening and could hardly keep my eyes off. No, I mean, I didn't know where to look." "Der will be well looked after." Miss Gu went out a lot in the Mercury car, seeing all the local scenery, and going on to Leamington and places like that. "All about it. Tell me of all the things I could no longer see for myself." Turned, she was beaming with pleasure. Nudging me, she said, "Come under the bed, thief. I'll tell you all about it." And followed her under the bed to wash, and as she washed she talked. "Well, thief, we started out and we went all along the fast highway of fruit and vegetable stands, where people were selling the stuff they had grown to, and at each one. But the Gov didn't stop. We drove on, and then some more. We drove towards the factory where they made 57 varieties of food. How you would like to be let loose in there. Think about it." And the more I thought about it, the more sure I was that nothing, nothing at all, could be better than my present home. 7 varieties of food perhaps, but here I also had 1 variety of love. The best mere thought of it made me purr. "Was just as wet as that at Windsor, so we turned for home too." So the Gov stopped and she got out and bought some of those smelly things that go splash when they are bitten. She beamed all the way home and every so often touched the fruit smelly things and thought how she was going to get into them. Then we turned into Walkerville and picked up the mail, and here we are. "Is," said the Gov, "Mrs. Der is having her things moved out tomorrow. She now has the place finished at Darwin Plaza." "Ow!" yelled Miss Gu, "will you take me to see it?" "Sure," said the Gov, "and Fifa as well if she likes." We wandered down the stairs and knocked at the door. Mrs. Der opened it and very civilly invited us in. We looked in all the rooms and sniffed round all the boxes of books which had been packed up ready for transfer to the new shop. "Invoices and do something about a catalogue. Any sensible cat would have known that." To cross to Mrs. Der and rubbed against her to show her that I was sorry she had to work so hard. "As late, costs in this country are so fantastically high that I shall have to get a job." "You are not fit to," replied Ma. "No, but we have to live all the same. I will go to the employment exchange and see what they say. There are a whole lot of things I can do." Mark called after him, "Ku wants to go to Walkerville with us to get the mail." Soon after, the guv drove round to the front door and Ma went out carrying Miss Ku. In glum, "Come under the bed, thief," whispered Miss Ku. "I will tell you what happened." Beneath the bed, properly settled, Miss Ku said, "After we had been for the mail, we drove down to the employment office, got out and went in. Later the guv came out looking really fed up with everything, started it, and drove off without saying a word. We drove to that place beneath the Ambassador Bridge, you know, thief, where we took you." He stopped the car and said, "I wish we could get out of this country." "What happened?" asked Ma. "I went in," said the guv, and a clerk at the counter sniggered and made goat noises as he fingered an imaginary beard. Another clerk and told him I wanted work. "Laboring work the same as any other DPD.P?" asked Ma. "What's that?" "Canadians think they are God's gift to the world. They think that anyone from another part of the world is an ex-convict or something." "And told me that I could not even get a laboring job unless I shaved off my beard." Another clerk came over and said, "We don't want no beatniks here. We give our jobs to Canadians." "Wears a beard because he cannot shave. His jawbones have been smashed by the Japanese kicking him when a prisoner." "Canada, or at least out of Ontario," Miss Ku added. "Sorry than I could say. I knew what it was to be persecuted for no valid reason," and told him of my sympathy. Miss Ku called after me, "Don't say anything to Buttercup about it. We don't want to disillusion her about Canada." "Oh." And Cat. To the day the gov was very quiet and had little to say to anyone. When we went to bed that night, I sat by his head and purred to him until at last he fell asleep. The following morning, the gov called Miss Ku and said, "Hey, we are going to Darwin Plaza to see Mrs. Durr's new shop. Coming?" Help took an extra bath and I sat on the gov's bed and thought. "Whoops," yelled Miss Ku as she dashed up the stairs. "Say, thief, she's got a very good place. I can't stay, I must have a bite to eat first," scattering the rugs, and into the kitchen. I leisurely jumped off the bed and picked a careful way out to her, careful as I did not want to trip over one of the displaced rugs. In mouthfuls, she has cards for all occasions, greetings cards for when you enter prison, commiseration cards for when you are dope enough to enter Canada, and sorrow cards for when you get married. Of the gov's books, The Third Eye, and Doctor from Lhasa. Oops, on the right is Aura Darwin Plaza, a queue anytime, French books, too, thief. I smiled to myself, and the gov chuckled behind me, "How can my thief read when she is blind?" "Miss Ku. Ow!" she exclaimed in content to cling to life. One night as I was watching over him, the others had long since gone to bed, a man from the other side of death came and stood beside us. "To these visitors, all cats are. But this was a very special visitor indeed. When it comes to things of the astral form of the gov left the world body and smiled across at the visitor. In the astral, was wearing the robe and vestments of a high abbot of the La Master Quarter. Fit to burst when the visitor bent over me and tickled my chin and said, "What a very beautiful friend you have here." Lobsangers idly through my fur, sending ecstatic shivers of delight through me, and replied, "Yes. She is one of the most loyal people upon the earth." Discussed things and I shut my perceptions to telepathic thought, for one should never steal the thoughts of others but only listen when so bidden. "Here, though, as we showed you in the crystal, we want you to write another book, to be called The Ramper Story." "Sad," and the visitor resumed, "what does it matter if people of the earth do not believe? Perhaps they have not the capacity. Your books, in stimulating thought, will help them attain to such capacity that unless they become as a little child, believing." Astral body of the gov, in the shimmering golden robes of the high order, sighed, and said, "As you wish. Having gone so far and suffered so much, it would be a pity to give up now." For her astral form jumped straight out of her body with the shock of seeing the shining figures. "And like this, will one bow be enough?" The visitor turned to her and laughed. "Anywhere, Lady Kuei," said the visitor. "So is my old granny cat thief," said the gov, putting his arms around me. "And I had the strongest possible bonds between us." "To the you poor souls," he exclaimed. "I am going to write a fresh book." His remarks were met by groans, his dirt and by some paper, and other supplies. Stayed in bed and I sat by him and looked after him. It was not well enough to write, but the book just had to be written. Bed typewriter 8-letter, 25 lines to each page, that is 300 words to each page, and we will have about 6,000 words, more or less, to the chapter, said the Gov. Right enough, I guess, said Miss Coote. That a paragraph should not be much more than 100 words, she added, or it will tire the customers. Eagle and said, you ought to write a book, thief. Buttercup can't, or the wolves would come flocking to her door if she unfolded her lurid tale. High good humor, and that made me happy. I'll type it for you, he said. Title so far. He laughed and was trying to get on his lap in place of the typewriter, tail overhead. She sprang to her feet. Come and play with me, let the old man play clackety with the typewriter. Ma was talking to someone, I did not know who. His life has been too hard. He doesn't croak, thief, she said in a whisper. He is quite useful to have around. I remember how gentle he was when my sister died. Was not even full grown, and she took ill and died in the Gov's arms. She was the spitting image of you, thief. The fat barmaid type. I've loved my sister Sue. Oh sure, she said, you have your hooks on the Gov's heart all right. He admires my brains. Tell me, he always had time for us cats. The hearts of all of us. Telepathic message. Being more at ease, I felt my way to the foot of the bed and curled up. Letters, letters, letters. Were there no jobs in Canada? Did they want only laborers? After job, but it seemed, as he said, that Canadians gave jobs only to Canadians or to those who had some political or union influence. Any jobs in more cultured, more civilized British Columbia, so the Gov decided to go there and see at first hand what the conditions were. Served his strength, and it was also decided that Buttercup would go as well in order to look after him. Over conditions were better. No joy when a loved one is away, when the minutes are reluctant to drag on to the sorrowful hours, when there is an age of waiting, wondering, stale. Even Ma moved quietly as if in a morgue. Dank tendrils of fear come crowding in, telling me that he would not return, that he was ill, that, anything that was fearsome and worrying. Empty bed after jumping up to make quite sure that it was not a nightmare. The blind live within themselves, and fears, to the blind, corrode and freeze one's soul. Gaiety. But her thoughts were elsewhere, which seeped inexorably through me. Scent, and tried to gain comfort from it. This is a time which I must pass over quickly even in my writing. It will suffice to say that self swell again with love, my ancient frame was almost ready to burst with joy, and I purred so long and loud that I almost got a sore throat. Bumbled around, butting the Gov with my head, rubbing against everybody and everything. Think you were a young girl cat just out of the litter instead of an old woman great-great-great-grandmother cat? I'm shocked at your levity. At Primly, with her arms folded neatly in front of her, us two, if we listened instead of purring our heads off from Toronto Airport and were in Vancouver in 4.5 hours. 2,000 miles. Flew 7 miles high above the Rockies. What are the Rockies? Miss Coote in a whisper. Place indeed, continued the Gov, but there is much unemployment there. It is as different from Ontario as heaven is from hell. Ever we have the opportunity, that is where we will live. Miss Coote rushed in. I think Buttercup is dying, she gasped. Shall I call the undertaker? The Gov and Ma went into her bedroom, but poor Buttercup was only suffering from excitement and change of food and climate. Saw this in Vancouver and could not resist buying it. Is exactly like Mrs. Durr, but a small porcelain figure of a woman. She is just like Mrs. Durr. So where's a crinoline? Exclaimed Miss Coote. This will sure knock her in the old Kent Road. Hunting trains seem threatening. I bumped into the next, edging it forward. It seemed to say, he's back, ha ha. Few weeks the Gov was very busy with the Rampa story. Special visitors came from the world of the astral and talked long to him in the night. As the Gov tells in his books, there is no death. Death is just the process of being reborn into another state of existence. All very complicated for a cat to explain, but it is so simple, so natural. How is one to explain the process of taking successive breaths, or walking? Explain just how there is no death. It is as easy to explain what life is as to explain what death is not, and cats can always see into the astral world and speak to the people of the astral. A place in which to live. Windsor offered nothing. No possibility of employment, and the Windsor scene was dull and uninteresting. Few trees graced the area, which was mainly industrial on a very small scale. The atmosphere was humid because of the great deposits of salt underlying the whole city. So aptly remarked, "Golly, is." We looked at maps and read books, and at last we decided to move to a place on the Niagara Peninsula. Put an advertisement in newspapers in the hope of obtaining a suitable house. Eyes came in, and most people with houses to rent seemed to think their house was built of gold bricks, judging by the rents they asked. Batteringly sad. Now came the time of great cleaning. Buttercup's hobby is playing with a roaring vacuum cleaner, and this was a glorious excuse for her to get the thing screaming all day long. Was confined to bed. He had suffered from 3 attacks of coronary thrombosis in the past, and had suffered from TB and other complaints. In much from him, Mrs. Durr came along and said to Ma, "I will drive you and the cats any time you wish. Ila can drive Dr. Ramper." I could always rely on Mrs. Durr for things like that. I knew that she would have the full support of Chulai. Furnished place, and so wanted to sell our furniture, which was almost new. No one wanted to buy it for cash. Canadians prefer to go to money lenders, whom they term finance companies, as that, they think, makes the affair rather more reputable. The Canadian usually buys gaudy things and pays so much a week. She had seen an advertisement, "Any car for $10 deposit." At last, the governor heard of a very nice young man who was getting married, so they decided to give most of the furniture as a wedding present. Transferring the furniture would have been quite prohibitive, and had made arrangements with a transport firm. Miss Gu and I were very glad that our sawhorse was going. We had an old sawhorse, which we used as a nail file and jumping platform. We all had an arrangement with the gov whereby we would not scratch the furniture so long as we had our nail file. Tis sometimes stare when they see the sawhorse among the furniture, but the gov says never mind what people think, my cats come first. Good cat, come here. Door looked both ways for traffic, and then slipped across the road. Be wonderful to move around as you do, Lady Grey, the road cat. I am going in now, but I will send you a telepathogram when we get to our new house. For the furniture which we were going to take were carried down the stairs and loaded into a van which Miss Gu said was as big as a house. Closed with a slam, a powerful motor was started, and our belongings commenced their journey. To anything now, there was nothing that could get in the way. Not said goodbye to the attic, said Miss Gu. I jumped to my feet and rushed to join her at the upper stairs, on the beams which kept the roof of the house on. Those beams were of walnut, from trees which used to be growing on the site when the Indians lived in the area. Set to with a will to hone our claw edges to perfection, then we dashed through a small hole near the rising chimney where humans could not get in. Some more webs and you won't catch us. It'll roll in the dust beneath the floorboards. Some had been left up when the electricians came, and then we rushed down the stairs again almost out of breath. Ruth, late again as usual, lead feet. Mrs. Durr came up the stairs and we all said good morning. I've carried little things down the stairs and put them into the cars. Sort of bed made up in the back of our big car, as the gov was ill, and they were going to do the journey in 2 stages. Ma, Mrs. Durr, Miss Gu and I were going to complete the 250-something miles in 1 day. By gov, I called, see you tomorrow. Don't start worrying, everything will be all right. Okay, said Miss Gu, let's roll. Her feet in the car moved ahead, over the railroad bridge, up past Walkerville Post Office, all the way up, leaving Windsor Airport on our left. I knew that district, but soon we were on fresh roads and I had to depend on Miss Gu for information. Thomas is ahead. He dead? How do we come to meet St. Thomas? We are going to have some chow, thief, as soon as we get clear of this joint, Miss Gu remarked. Me and I blushed at my stupidity. St. Thomas was a small city. Small village is a town and a bit bigger village is a city. Still, suppose the French also have some peculiarities, if I but knew them. Are nearly there, yes. There is the Fortieri Hotel, the end of the lake. Weaver, Miss Gu, if no, she replied, we have some more miles to go. Crackling sounds came from the hot exhaust pipes. We are, thief. Pick up your things. Ma and Mrs. Durr got out of the car and carried Miss Gu and me into the house. We were once again at a temporary home. Was anxious for the gov to arrive, but that would not be until the morrow. Hurry, thief, said Miss Gu, The Govan Buttercup arrive tomorrow and we must know every inch of the place before they get here. Room is 3 cats high, and then you are facing a window, pointing out various items of interest. A frightful clatter broke out beneath us, a roaring, grinding, clattering sound filled with many hisses. Straight up in the air with fright, and coming down I missed the bed and fell on the floor. Was that? Fortunately, Ma spoke to Mrs. Durr. Oh, I expect, all the water is pumped from the lake. There was nothing to worry about, I had memorized the noise. There is a grill thing here, thief, said Miss Gu. Must be to let the water out if the house gets flooded or something. Only there was a muffled roar beneath us, and hot air beat upon us like a giant's breath. We turned and fled to the safety beneath the bed and awaited results. Orgy, said Miss Koo disgustedly, there is nothing to it, that is just the heating blower. I thought first the biggest tomcat in all creation was coming after us. Give me a nudge, I had been dozing. Splay there, when he get hind legs again. Until tomorrow. Stracked my mind from such thoughts I rose to my feet and wandered around, feeling my way very carefully as a branch, blowing in the wind, knocked against the roof. The place was nothing wonderful, being quite run down, but it would do for very temporary accommodation. It was not a place that we would want to call home. We would not have lived there permanently even if it had been given to us. That night we went to bed early. I had to drive back to Windsor in the morning. But as we thought about it, we realized that her books would be lonely without her, and Mr. Chulider was growing into a fine young Siamese tomcat and would need attention. A heating system wheezed and puffed. Their leaves in the night wind which blew off the lake close to me once during the night and whispered in a quavering voice, gee, it's a spooky place, thief, with all these trees, and I just saw a great big spider looking at me. Beginning to think it would never end, I heard faint twitterings from birds in the trees as they made their food finding plans for the day. Squirrels scrabbled noisily beneath the window. We done in order to get the place clean. Miss Koo and I wandered around, trying to think of any places we had not already investigated. Basement underneath the house, but Ma had told us we could not go down there until the gov came, because there were pumps and things which whirred and buzzed and moved. We ambled idly into a front room and jumped onto a window sill. Well, I never. Was a thieving squirrel, no, hundreds of them, eating our trees. She tapped her foot with annoyance and, to distract her, I said, what is it like out there, Miss Koo? And place, she remarked, trees need pruning, grounds need cleaning, house needs painting, the usual run of things in these dumps which are rented. It in the ads and you think you are going to a palace? Heat will last for another winter. The rest of the morning was very hard, furniture to be moved around and cleaning to be done, and only Miss Koo and me there to tell Ma and Mrs. Durr how to do it. Quite exhausted when Miss Koo looked out of the window and said, the Gov and Buttercup have just driven in. Just in time to say goodbye, said Mrs. Durr. I must be getting back or I shall be in trouble. Most of the day we stayed in and worked. Me across his shoulder. He dancing with excitement at the door. Foot of a tree. Big. I used to climb trees like this, Miss Koo, I replied. We had such trees in France. Old. The surly voice of two houses back. Cat, you foreign cats are no good. No blind cat there never climbed a tree in her life. Only Canadian cats can climb, and how, and yelled derisively across to the caretaker cat from a local institution. Qui cats are hicks, they don't do no climbing. Nisha blind cat can climb and walked up as I used to do in France in the old bad days, 25 or 30 feet, and then lay at full length along a branch. Ma came rushing out full of concern, Buttercup came out as well, going TSK. They rushed round the house to where a ladder was stored. Stood by the tree so that he could catch me if I fell. Running up with the ladder, the gov grabbed it and put it against the trunk. Silly old woman cat, he said mildly, whoever heard of blind cats climbing trees? I felt sorry, I could hear his heart thumping, and then I thought of his coronary thrombosis. Still, I had shown that stupid Canadian cat. That was the funniest sight I in years. You scared the acorns out of half a dozen squirrels, they went leaping away like mad things. Two houses back cat took off like lightning with one house up dog after him. Tested, thief, said the gov. Only you have no brains to test. Still, it made me feel good to know that a blind old French Siamese cat could make Miska laugh. The governed Ma often took Misku and me into the woods and let us play amid the trees at her close at hand, warmed with snakes, and Misku was fascinated with them. I was frightened of stepping on one groundhog who lived in a hole in the ground near an old tree. Our exercise kept our distance as we had not been introduced, but we had a high regard for him and he told us much about the place and about the local inhabitants of the trees and ground. He said, he plays a little rough if he is feeling cross, and he will knock the stuffing out of any dog. He disappeared and Misku said, gee, the name of Tanishin is a raccoon. I am afraid I cannot tell you, Misku, I replied. Ching Anir reflectively, she remarked, Ma collects those animal picture cards from the tea bag boxes. Look at them when we go in. Raccoon? Had a boot on because there was always a danger that we would be swept up. Vacuum cleaner in her hands was falling onto the floor. What are you doing? Ku come Kenny notice of Buttercup. She has a mood on because the cleaner lead said ker puff and won't work. It was a boat thing which the gov had rented and one afternoon, when the sun was hot and high in the sky, he said, come on, let's take the cats on the lake. Oh come on, thief, don't be such a sissy, said the gov. Ma carried Misku and the gov carried me. We went down the path to the lake and the gov got the boat thing ready and held it tightly by a strong rope so that it would not escape the thing, and then the gov lifted me in. There was some rocking and a splash or two and I felt us moving. Noise may be too much for them. We drifted along and Misku sat in the front and sang a seafaring cat. Am I had to break off to say out to be seasick, pulled a piece of string and a motor roared at us and nearly frightened us into having kittens. The boat went fast and Misku was so interested she forgot to be sick. We are 20 feet from America, thief. This is Grand Island, ting, too. The sun got itself covered by a cloud and the gov decided to take us home. I just see any sense in floating around in a thing that might sink. It seemed to me that we had enough trouble without inviting any more. We had some tea. Evenings were becoming shorter, so we all went to bed early. Still in the gov's bedroom. Outside there were all the sounds of the night. Floorboards. A field mouse said that it must get in some more food for the coming winter. Suddenly Misku crouched low and growled deep in her throat. Glory be! She exclaimed, there is a huge cat in a striped football jersey. You the foreign lady cats that I have heard about? Sure are, bud, replied Misku. What in heck are you? The voice came again and there was a suspicion of a chuckle in it. I am Rake the Raccoon. I live here and keep the night free of prowling dogs. Particularly as there is thick plate glass between us. You'd be quite safe with me, answered Rake the Raccoon. I always respect the interests of tenants. Now I must get about my business. Misku, I said, he seems to be a very pleasant gentleman. What does he look like? She thought for a moment, then settled down to wash as she replied, well, he looks like a whacking great tomcat. Biggest tomcat you ever saw. Bigger than many dogs. Stripes all along his tail as if he had got bars of wet paint from some cage. Added, he's got claws. A pleasant gentleman, if one keeps the right side of him, and the right side is with a brick wall in between. Feel free to use the woods as if you own the place. You will be very welcome to tea sometime. Well, exclaimed Misku, guess I must hit the sack. A day tomorrow, the gov is taking me to Ridgeway. I have some shopping to do. She wandered off to sleep beside Ma. The weather was rapidly becoming colder. Leaves were falling with a continuous dry rustle, and the squirrels, who had been idle through the false warmth of the autumn, were rooting frantically through the piles of leaves in search of acorns. Still the leaves came down in endless profusion. Of burning leaves rose to the heavens from all the houses in the district and from the great stretches of parkland. Now only the gov went out without his coat. Buttercup wrapped up, as Misku said, as if she were at a particularly cold North Pole. Impassable. With tremendous roars and clatters the snowplows came out, their scraper blades slithering and juddering along the icy surface of the road. The lake froze, a nearby creek became a solid mass of ice. Fishermen came with special tools and cut holes in the several feet thick ice so that they could sit and shiver and pretend to catch fish. Morning the roads were snowed up and traffic was halted. Great storms raged and howled around the house. One night the water pump stopped. The Gov got out of bed at 2 in the morning and went down to the lake carrying a great iron bar and a heavy hammer. Put on the kettle for tea. Sound of breaking ice it all about. If the Gov can't break up the ice around the water intake, we shall have no water for the winter. See, thief, it is so cold that the lake has frozen. The old man has gone to dig out the ice and then we shall keep a tap slightly on.